You're listening to the Destiny Community Church Podcast.
2 weeks ago, on our church's 18-year anniversary, I took us on a stroll down memory lane, and we visited some of the highs and lows that we, as a church body, that things that we've experienced. And I told you that the past is to be honored for two reasons. First of all, it gives us an appreciation of how God has blessed us. It's good to remember. It's good to think back to how God has brought us through. The second thing that it does is it helps you see that God brought you through the times that you didn't think you were blessed. That God's faithfulness sustained you. That God brought you through those difficult times. And it's in both of those situations where we see God's faithfulness. The danger is trying to live in the good old days and not appreciate what God is doing now and what God is going to do in the future. Then last week, with my absence, Pastor Andrew taught us not to miss out on what God is doing in the now. What a great message. Mandy and I listened to it on our way back from Augusta. We were speaking at a marriage conference, and we listened to that message on the way home that Sunday afternoon. And I love it. He told us to resist the urge to worry about tomorrow and don't despise what you're going through in the present. When he said these words, right now is the only time we can meet with God. Man, that rang true. Don't miss out on it. Right now is the only time you can meet with God. So we've talked about honoring the past. We've talked about embracing the present. And today, as we close out the series, I want to talk about anticipating the future. Looking ahead, what does that look like? Two men ran into each other on the street, and one noticed that his friend looked sad. And so he looked at his friend, he said, "Man, you look so depressed. What's on your mind that's got you so down?" And his friend quickly replied, he said, "Well, it's my future." And he said, "Your future?" He said, "What in the world makes, in your future, makes it look so hopeless?" And his miserable friend just simply said, "Well, it has to do with my past." Everyone has a past. Everyone. And I know we've talked about the past, but I can't get us to the future unless you first learn to properly look at the past. It doesn't matter if you are one day old or one century old. If you've lived life at all, you have a past. We all have a past. And typically, we're really not worried too much about the past. Some of you think you do, but you're really not worried about the past. We will sometimes worry about the consequences of the past and how they're going to affect our future. Therefore, we're worried about the future, how the past is going to affect the future. And if you're breathing, you're in the present. How many of you are thankful to be in the present? Yeah? You're here right now. In that second that we just raised our hand, that's in the past. But we're right now in the present. And that phrase is in the past. But we're right now here, now, right? It's kind of mind-boggling, I'm telling you. It gets there quick. Be thankful that you live to see another day, amen? God has sustained you once again, and you are here. You're in the present. So we can all agree that we have a past, and we all know that we are in this present right now, but not everyone here feels like they have a future. And that's what breaks my heart, is that some of you, you're looking at life and you're looking at circumstances, you're looking at the past, you're looking at your current situation, and you can't see a future. You can't see what God wants to do in and through your life, and it's got you paralyzed. And I want you to walk out of this room today realizing and understanding that God has orchestrated a future for your life. And as we close out this series today, I want you to realize that today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. And I say that for this reason. It's all going to be okay. The fact that we're here right now shows us it's going to be all right. Because we've got the one that created yesterday, we've got the one that created today, and the one that created tomorrow on our side. He's for us. He's not against us. He's for us. And faith can be defined as living in advance what you only understand in reverse. And so you don't have to get it. You don't have to know how God's going to do it. You don't have to know how God is going to orchestrate getting you from A to B or how God is going to bless you in the future. You don't have to know any of that. I don't know most of that for my own life. But what I do know is one day I'll be able to look back on it and realize God was already there and He was orchestrating everything that I had to walk through. Today's text takes us to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua has assumed the role as the leader of the Hebrew nation. After wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, it is his divine calling to lead them into the promised land, the land that God promised them. And the time has come for them to walk by faith and not by sight. And if they want the land that God has promised to them, they will have to advance and begin conquering territory. They're going to have to run out the inhabitants of that land, people that had settled in that land after God had promised it to their forefathers. But before they do, Joshua and the officers, they go before the people to give them a pep talk. And that's where we pick it up. Joshua chapter 3, let's read verses 1 through 6. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "As soon as you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, and you have not passed this way before." Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow." Somebody say tomorrow. For tomorrow, that's the future. "For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. As Christian believers, we sometimes find ourselves in a paradox. Even throughout this series, there's been things that we have said that almost seem contradictory to each other. It's the paradox. We're taught to remember the past, but not to stay there. We're taught to not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have enough worries of its own. But we're also instructed to look forward with expectation, anticipation, and hope. And so it can be confusing, embracing where God has me right now, being okay in this moment, but also looking forward to what God is going to do. And though I don't believe that we should wish our lives away, we must realize that today doesn't last forever. This too shall pass. This has become a harsh reality with me lately. I feel like I'm in a good place in life. Things are not perfect, but they're good. There are a few things that, especially with the relationships with my extended family, that I wish that I could change, that are out of my control. But overall, I like this stage of life. Mandy and I are empty nesters. True empty nesters. When our kids graduated from high school, Kendall left for college. She was gone for 3.5 years. But Caleb still lived at home going to college locally. Well, then she moves home, Caleb gets married, and he moves out, and Kendall stays home until she gets married. So we've never really truly been empty nesters until this past October. Now we are truly empty nesters. And it is good because we can go and do as we please. We don't have to worry about kids. Our dog died, so we don't have to worry about our dog either. Too soon? No. We've had a long conversation this week about it's so good not to have a dog right now. Because we can. We can go and do as we please. And I want to just stop here just for a moment just to give some of the young families in the room some hope. Because I see the anguish on your face sometimes. And when I say something like that of we're empty nesters, you're like, oh, I could only hope and dream. The day's coming, I promise you. Hold out, hold out. Those kids are going to grow up and they're going to break your heart. When they do move out, it's going to hurt so bad, but then quickly you're going to realize this isn't so bad. It's good. And I enjoy being an empty nester. It's good. Mandy and I have really embraced this stage of life. Both of our kids are married to people that love them, but more importantly, that love the Lord. I realize Mandy and I are extremely blessed because we have both of our children and their spouses in this church serving. What more could I ask for, man? I'm a blessed man. And then Knox, our grandson, Knox is at a fun age, and he loves his Pop Rock, and this Pop Rock loves him. And it's just fun. Life is good right now. But something has happened in my heart. The last few months, I've really been looking at life, and I'm about to turn 50 years old. And it's hitting me. It's hitting me. I've reached that place where I'm like, uh-oh. I've lived more life than I'm going to live. Because I don't want to live to be 100. Like, I don't want to live to be 100. The reality is hitting this guy pretty hard. And I'm like, man, if I could just freeze this moment. Like, it's really, really fun right now. If I could just stay right where I'm at. And it's a sobering thought. But I've realized that I can't go back and relive yesterday, nor should I. And I've realized this right now, where I'm at in life, it wouldn't be healthy just to stay in this moment. But think about this. You're going to spend the rest of your life in the future. From this second on, everything is in the future. The past is in the past. We can't change it. It is what it is. You're going to live the rest of your life in the future. There's this powerful scene in the movie The Lion King where Simba has just realized that his dad lives on in him, and Simba's been hiding from his past. And he has this conversation with Rafiki, the wise old baboon, voiced by the late Robert Guillaume and Benson, for those of you that remember the TV show Benson. And man, just his voice alone, just wisdom, you know. And they talk about how change is good, but it's not easy. And Simba says that going back means that he has to face his past, and he's been running from it for so long. Rafiki, if you remember this scene, he then hits Simba across the head with a stick. And when Simba asks, what was that for? He replies, doesn't matter. It's in the past. He says, yeah, but it still hurts. And Rafiki then replies with this key message, and he says, ah, yes, the past can hurt, but the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it. And then Rafiki takes another swing at his head, and this time Simba ducks, thus solidifying the message, we learn from the past. The past should remain a place of reference, not residence. You don't stay there. You don't live there. And what God wants to do with your life will all be accomplished in the future. What God wants to do happens from this moment on. So we should live in such a way that we have hope for the future. Somebody say hope. Hope. This small little word has such huge context in our lives. Hope. We have to live our lives in such a way that we have hope for the future. It's the reason why we can say we can face, sing we can face tomorrow. It's because we have hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And so we have to have hope for the future. But therein lies the problem, because so many people are living without hope. There's people sitting right here. There's people watching online right now that you're living life without hope. And Proverbs 13 and 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. Think about what that means. Just leave that verse up just for a moment. Think about what this verse means. Deferred maintenance on a building is when repairs and upgrades get denied, they get delayed, they get postponed. And if this practice goes on for too long, it can cause some serious problems with the building and the equipment of that building and can cause the building to depreciate. If our hope is deferred, that means that our hope has been denied, it's been delayed, it's been postponed, and the scripture tells us that that too can make us sick. It causes a depreciation within our souls. And I am constantly dealing with people who have lost hope. They have no hope for their career. They have no hope for their families. They have no hope for their marriage. They have no hope for their finances. And if that mindset doesn't change, they will lose the ability to dream God-given dreams about their future. And so I'm telling you, if you walked in today and you don't have hope, I pray that something I say, that something we sing, something gets through to you and helps you realize that we do have hope and our hope is in Christ Jesus. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow, church. So a couple of things to consider. Just really two things I want to share with you. And then they're going to come back up and they're going to sing, they're going to lead us. And I believe God's just going to let this just settle in our hearts. But two things to consider. First of all, this. God already knows your future. You need to know that. God already knows your future. Go back to Joshua 3 and verse 5. Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." First of all, that consecrate part is a preparation that had to happen for them. Now, there was a physical preparation for them, but for us, I believe it's a mental preparation. I think we have to understand that there's something that has to be realized in our own lives if we're ever going to see the future God has prepared for us. Understanding that God already knows our future. We teach that God is omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. He knows it all. God knows everything. We cannot comprehend it, nor should we even try. His ways are higher than ours. But God is all-knowing. Therefore, God knows the plans that he has for our future. God is not flying by the seat of his pants as it relates to your life. He's not leaving the outcome of your life up to happenstance. He knows what he wants to do in and through your life. And I promise you, what God wants to accomplish, it's good. It's good. Because every time God creates, it's good. And when it came to us, it was very good, is what it said when he created humanity. God has plans for us. And we have used this verse. It is the life verse for this church. But Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." You see how hope and future go hand in hand? You can't understand the future God wants for you and has for you unless you have hope to get you there. God has plans for your future. It's up to you to have the hope for it. Psalm 139:4 says, "You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord." Listen to the psalmist. "You know what I'm going to say even before I say it." That means God knows what you're going to be praying about before it ever happens. You don't pray to inform God. You pray in order to put your hope in him, to put your trust in him, to put your faith in him, which, by the way, it's impossible to please him without faith. And so that's why we pray. We pray so that we can declare, "God, I'm giving this to you and I trust you with it." God knows what you're going to be praying before it ever happens. And it's beyond understandable for us because our God is timeless. He lives outside of time because he created time. If he created time, he's not bound by time. So I've said it before, but I want to say it again. God is in the past. God is in your past. Somebody needs to hear that. God is in your past right now. He's there. Whatever has happened to you, whatever you've done, whatever's been done to you, God is there in it right now. We'll come back to that, but God is there. But God is also right now in your now. He's here right now. But I'm so thankful he's not only in my past and he's not only in my now, he is also in my future. He is already there because he's not bound by time. Therefore, God is already there. It's hard to understand. I know I can't wrap my mind around it. But in an effort to try and help us somewhat grasp this, think of it like this. If I were to take you to the Gator Homecoming Parade, I know there's not as much to celebrate this year, but if we were to go to the Gator Homecoming Parade, you and I would stand on the side of the road and we would only see what is right in front of us. That float, that fire truck, that golf cart, whatever it is that's in that parade, that particular band that's walking by, that's all that we would see in that moment. And if you were to go up into an airplane or a helicopter above the parade, you would be able to see the beginning, the end, and all of the parade in between. You would see all of it. It's just a matter of perspective is all it is. God steps foot outside of time because God is not bound by time, and God can see it all at the same time. He sees the beginning, he sees the end, and he sees the middle. Psalm 139 and 16 says, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." Which, by the way, and I'm not going to stay there long, but this is the reason why we fight for the unborn. This is the reason why we take such a stand, because God saw them before they were born. God knew of their life, and he had a future prepared for them. Let's stop aborting their futures, because God has plans for their lives. Amen? But before you were born, God knew the details of your life. He had it planned out. Before you took your first breath, he had a plan for you. Because God sees the entire road of your life. He sees every pothole. He sees every detour. He sees every obstacle. God sees every speed trap. God knows every inch of the road that you are traveling that is called life. And I promise you, there is nothing that we face that catches God off guard. God knows. He knows our future. He knows exactly where you're at, and he knows where you're heading, and he has a beautiful future planned for you. All you have to do is just put your hope and your trust in him. This did not catch God off guard. But not only does God know your future, but God is already in your future. God's already there. Listen to Joshua chapter 3 again, verses 3 and 4. He said, "As soon as you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before." The ark of the covenant, as most of us know, it represented the presence of God in the Israel camp, in the Hebrew camp. The Hebrews were instructed to follow that ark as it was being carried by the Levitical priests. They were instructed to follow it at a distance of 2,000 cubits. That is about 0.57 of a mile, a little over a half of a mile. Jewish historians state that 2,000 cubits was the distance that the Israelites had to place their tents from the tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God was located. They had to put their tents about 2,000 cubits away from there. And that is where we get the term a Sabbath's journey. It was the distance that the people had to travel from their tents to the tabernacle in order to partake in the Sabbath services. If you remember, in the New Testament, it explains that the Mount of Olives was a Sabbath's journey from Jerusalem, 2,000 cubits, a little over a half a mile. Here's the point. Don't miss it. God was already ahead of them in the journey. God said, I'm going before you in the journey. I'm going to be ahead of you. He was in places they had never been. And God said, I'm going to be there. I'm going to go ahead of you and be on the path that you're going to eventually walk. I'm going to be ahead of you on the journey. God is already in your future, church. He is already ahead of you. He has ordained and prepared a path for you to follow. And because he exists outside of time, not only is he in your future, he is here right now. But he's also in your past. And what is he doing in your past? He's redeeming the past. You don't even have to do any work to it. All you had to do was accept the grace and the mercy that flows from Calvary. And he says, okay, I'm going to fix all of that. I'm going to redeem the past. You don't have to do it. You don't have to lift a finger. You trust me with your past. You trust me with your present. And you trust me with your future. And he makes it all work to our benefit. Romans 8 and 28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things, say all things, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. It does not say that God takes all of the good things and makes them work together for our good. That's easy. I can do that for you. I can take all the good things of your life and paint a really good picture. That's not hard. It says that he takes all things. He takes the junk. He takes the ugly. He takes the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he brings it together. And he says, I'm going to make all of those things. I'm not going to leave out anything that you've gone through. I'm going to bring all of that together, and I'm going to work it out for your good. So he takes all things, and he makes them work together for our good. But I hear the critic right now, but Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know. And you certainly don't know what I'm facing. Oh, I remember the old preachers used to say this, so I'm going to say it. I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And it's got me through a lot of stuff in my life. Revelation 1 and 8. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and is to come, the Almighty. He establishes his place in our present, in our past, and in our future. And I pretty much want to leave it with this. I'm really big on appointments, setting appointments, and making it to appointments. I don't like to be late. I don't like to forget. Therefore, when I have an appointment, I make sure that it goes on my calendar. It's one of the reasons why I don't handle my own calendar is because I know that Alexis can handle it a lot better than I can, and I don't want to miss anything, and I want somebody else to blame if I don't, okay? And so I understand appointments are important. Some of you need to understand that appointments are important, but that's a story for another day. I want to tell you, you have a divine appointment with God in your future. You have a divine appointment with God in your future. And I'm not even talking about eternity at this point. You certainly do have a divine appointment with God in eternity. But I want you to understand that no matter where you're at or what you've been through, he has a hope and a future for you. He has hope and a future. Therefore, you have to embrace the hope in order to see the future. You have to come to that realization that God has a future for me. And all I have to do is place my hope in him. And you've got a divine appointment with God in your future. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Put your hope in him today. And realize God's going to get you through this.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.